Arizona Gardeners are all staying in bed here this morning. Mike, go ahead and turn the music up. Get them. Shake them out, baby. Happy New Year, Arizona homeowners. You're tuned in to the Saturday morning tradition of Rosie on the House in the garden this hour with John J. Harper. They're all asleep today, John J.
Well, it's...
like their plants.
Yeah. They may not be asleep. They just might not be out from under the covers.
That's true.
It's a little brisk out there, but that's a good time to, you know, to sit there and kind of plan the garden, you know, what we talked about, what you can start planting and we'll be able to plant here in the next few weeks. It's also a good time maybe to talk about if we've had a little bit of frost damage on some things. And we're talking about pruning roses. This is the time we want to start pruning our roses. And Magic Garden in Tucson and Harper's, we're having our rose pruning demonstrations this weekend, today and tomorrow. Magic Garden is today and tomorrow in Tucson?
It is. 9 o'clock today, 11 o'clock tomorrow.
Is that by reservation, or is it just open to general public?
I don't think Tony would turn you away.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
So it's time to be pruning roses. And the reason we prune roses and deciduous fruit trees this time of year is they produce flowers or fruit on new growth. So we prune them back hard in the wintertime. Then they put on all their new spring growth, and they flower, and they set fruit, or they just produce flowers on that new growth. Things that bloom either earlier in the year or later in the year, we wait till they're done blooming to prune, or we prune later on. And then things that are frost-sensitive. So if you walked out this morning and, you know, you finally had a weekend, and it's not dark when you leave the house and dark when you get home weather, so you've got some daylight to actually see what things look like after a little bit of cold weather. A lot of people's first inclination is to go out there and start cutting all that ugly black growth off. We want you to hold off on that.
Well, especially if the HOA is leaving nice little love letters on your door.
Tell the HOA to get a life and call us. We'll set them straight. But you do not want to prune any frost damaged or frost sensitive plants, even if they haven't frozen, let alone if they have, until about the middle of February, till the danger of any more frost or freezing is over. If you prune it off and we get another freeze and it goes deeper and deeper and deeper into the plant, number one, you're going to end up having to prune it two or three times. I don't know anybody that wants to do that. Number two, even that damaged material, as it turns black and then brown and then kind of dried up and brown on the outside, actually acts as protection for the plant, for the freezing going any deeper. So just kind of grin and bear it and leave it alone and spend your time pruning on things that should be pruned now, which are roses, deciduous shade trees, deciduous fruit trees, and those types of things.
It's my deciduous, my fruitless mulberry. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking, man, that thing, it's got to know it's winter. It's going to lose its leaves any time. Friday morning, it was in the 20s at our house. I woke up between Friday morning and this morning, every leaf is gone.
Okay.
It dropped everything.
It finally figured it out. So now you can prune it. If it needs pruned at all, now would be the time to do it.
Well, let's go down to southern Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
Way down south to Sierra Vista this morning, and bring Audrey into the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Audrey, welcome.
Thank you. I have peach, nectarine, and apricot trees. And I thought I had the problem with deer solved. Someone told me to lay down fencing on the ground, that if they around the trees, and if they got there, they wouldn't like to step on it. So I tried that, but it didn't work. And my deer have eaten halfway up the tree. In fact, as far as they can reach, have eaten the branches and gnarled them, and all the leaves are gone and everything. I want to know if I can trim those lower branches to where the deer can't reach them. And if that's good for the tree, when should I do it? Shouldn't I do it?
Well, you should do it about now. They've probably lost their foliage.
Yes.
So now would be the time to prune them. You can raise them up so that they are high-headed and have no lower branches. That shouldn't be an issue. What you might want to do is paint or wrap the trunks up a ways if they haven't been used to being pruned that low. You don't want to have a sunburned trunk. So you could get some tree paint, some Go Natural tree paint, or some tree wrap, and wrap the trunk. That would also, the tree wrap would also keep the deer, sometimes if they get really desperate, they'll strip the bark, and hopefully they haven't stripped any bark off of your trees. Because once they do that, the tree is just as good as dead. But eating some limbs and eating the fruit and the leaves is discouraging, and certainly can set back the amount of fruit you get. But if they strip the bark, they're going to kill the tree. So, yes, prune it up, do it now, and probably paint or wrap the trunk up as high as that first branch so you don't have any sunburn. And then really, quite frankly, if your best bet is just to put a fence a couple, 3 feet out away from the tree, go around the tree with some fencing so they can't even get to it. That doesn't look good. It's ugly. That, or I guess an electric fence around the perimeter of your whole garden would probably help.
It's not the watering or the time that costs most, in my experience, with gardening or trees. It is animal protection. It is constant. It is consistent. And they always find a way to beat your latest trick to beat them.
You know, we just spent New Year's over in Pasadena, and we went to the parade New Year's morning, and all the businesses that align Colorado Avenue, where the parade, the company that makes out, talking about animal protection, the company that makes out on the Rose Bowl parade is the Rent-A-Fence chain link companies over there. All of the parking lots for the department stores and the grocery stores and the storefronts of all of those buildings put up temporary chain link fence. So for miles, you've got chain link Rent-A-Fence around the city of Pasadena.
You know, one of the issues about Audrey, too, is once a deer has found a food plot.
Oh, yeah. It's like a candy store.
They're very habitual. So whatever deterrent she decides to put up, it's going to have to be fairly sturdy.
Hey, Jay, we have two callers on hold wanting to know, what time does the Rose Clinic start?
10 a.m. 10 a.m. is when we start, and it'll go for a couple hours. There's lots of time for question and answers. There's no hurry. People will hang around and answer your questions as long as it takes. Even if you don't get there right at 10 o'clock, they'll repeat a few things. So we do it on purpose. Usually by 10, the sun's up high enough. It's plenty, warm if you're sitting in the sun. And 10 o'clock. Just no reservations, but it wouldn't hurt to bring a chair.
And the address?
2529, 2529 North Hayden Road. So that's between Thomas and McDowell on Hayden on the east side.
For the Magic Garden Rose Clinic, it actually starts here in about 20 minutes at 9 o'clock today at 22nd Street in Pantano, the Magic Garden Nursery, right on the north side of the road. And then tomorrow it's at 11, so they give you a little bit more time on Sunday to get the sun up, as you were saying.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's bring Carolyn to the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Carol, go ahead, ma'am.
Yes, my question is, what is the secret to keeping the Mexican fountains free of algae? I have a problem with ours, and as I go around town, the resorts and other public fountains, they don't have a bit of algae. I've tried to throw in a piece of pool tab, and that helps a little bit, but really I have an algae problem.
Well, you've got to keep that piece of pool tab or a smaller pool tab just like you do in your swimming pool. You got to keep that chlorine level consistent and up all the time, depending on how big the fountain is. I've even seen them use the little floating chlorine tablet devices in the base of the fountain floating around.
When people say, I see it at resorts, or I see this lawn at a golf course, and I want that.
They got full-time staff.
People
doing
are
that.
Making their living making it look like that.
The swimming pool at a resort doesn't have any leaves in it either, you know, because there's a guy out there every morning before you go to the pool at the resort scooping leaves and vacuuming the stuff. So they are constantly monitoring their chlorine levels, just like they do in a swimming pool, and keeping it at the optimum level. And if you just keep a tab in there all the time, you won't have any algae.
It may take a little more aggressive action than that to get rid of what she's got.
To clean it up the first time.
To get it cleaned up. May take a little acid bath, cleaning. But once it's back put together, Carol, you might try a little bit bigger tab of chlorine a little bit more often, because it will stop or prevent the algae from growing the chlorine.
More often than not, we pull out water features. I mean, I know it's a cool idea and it's a concept, and everyone likes the sound of running water. But 2-3 years with the hard water that we have, the maintenance, we end up ripping out more water features than we end up putting in.
Yeah, you've got to maintain them. They're not maintenance free. Some of the pondless features are a little better, where you have, you know, no standing visible water. It's all underground under a grid, so the sunlight doesn't. You don't end up with quite as big an algae problem. So you might consider that if you're going to put one of those in.
Something more like the living stream that.
Or go the whole another gamut and actually go to a live living stream, and then, you know, the algae does grow on the rocks. I mean, you can't freak out about some algae or some moss. That's just part of nature and part of what it has. There's some pretty cool fountains in Europe and in Mexico and that, and they're green with algae, you know, on the fountain itself. The water is clean, but because once that thing starts, the algae starts filtering the water, the water's clear, but you've got an algae-lined basin, perhaps. You just got to be okay with that. So you kind of want a living organism, or do you want a pristine fountain
showpiece?
You know, it's kind of you kind of have to make a call as to what you want to do, because certainly a water feature with plants and fish and some algae in it is just part of the deal.
Or muriatic acid and chlorine.
One extreme or the other. I don't think there's any in between.